Hey, this is Neil Burns from Draw the Line. You're listening to Monday Night Talk on WATD. I'm back in the saddle again, baby.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And, of course, this is the final show of 2012. It's been a great run.
Kevin, you couldn't have picked a better slate for tonight.
Really?
I'm excited. I was excited coming into this show tonight.
Well, you were excited, A, first and foremost. I know how good of a friend you are to Joe McDonald. I love having the sheriff in and talking with him.
Yep.
Love meeting Chris. Chris seems like a great guy. And then to kind of add Junior D'Amato, who is our automotive expert, a guy who has a shop up in Hyde Park. He has a location down in Middleboro. Junior, are you there, sir?
Well, good morning. Good afternoon. How are you?
We're doing pretty good. We're sitting here. We were talking with the sheriff about his department, and we kind of rounded out with Chris Bittaker, who is actually the gentleman who's in charge of their fleet down at the sheriff's department. And these guys are our car guys from way back, so we can run the full gamut while we speak with you this evening about cars. How are you doing these days?
Absolutely fabulous. It's a rainy day. It's going to be a few rainy days are in our forecast, but you know what? Up north, they're getting some of the snow and ice and the terrible driving conditions. And people up there just need to really watch it. Once the temperature drops down, you get that black ice and you're in really some deep doo-doo when you try to maneuver through those ice-covered roads. Whether you have all-wheel drive, front-wheel drive, or rear-wheel drive, it really doesn't make any difference because you only have those 4 pounds of hands trying to stop the vehicle. Anyway, let's talk about some cars and have some fun, and I enjoy talking with everybody tonight. Let's have some fun with it.
Sounds like a plan. Well, I got to ask you, first and foremost, what are some of the vehicles that, since the last time we talked with you, what are some of the new vehicles that you have driven? And we'll kind of jump in, whether it's myself, Sheriff Joe McDonald, or Chris, or your, Joe Rossi. You know, he's here. He loves cars.
Well, let's make Joe Rossi start drooling, okay? He needs a bib. Joe Rossi is a Mopar guy. He loves the big, fat power.
Yep.
He loves to have lots and lots of get up and go.
Yep.
I recently was privileged to be one of the first in the area to drive the all-new Lexus LS600.
Oh,
that's an LS600H. And this is a car that has, you ready for this? A 5-liter V8, twin electric motors, not engines, motors, that produce 438 horsepower. Combine that with the 300-plus horsepower from the gas engine, and you've got all-wheel drive. And I gotta tell Mr. Joe Rossi, don't even think about bringing his Hemi Mopar out because he doesn't have a chance. And this is a luxury liner weighing in at over 2 tons, and it's not even in production yet. We had one of the first pre-production vehicles that was just absolutely a joy to drive. What it was missing, and I was kind of disappointed, but upon further conversation with the people at Lexus, it will have it. It will have lane-changing avoidance. Not the people come up next to you decide and they blink the mirrors. The mirrors start blinking on you. But the steering wheel will start vibrating, and it will apply the brake to the side that is not going off the road. That's number one. Number two, this is one of the first cars. It's going to have radar between you and just beyond the steering wheel. There's a couple of sensors that actually watch you. So if you nod off, uh-oh, the steering wheel starts going wacko. It just starts vibrating like crazy to wake you up. A lot of real, real trick electronics are coming in this thing. And this will be in production probably sometime this up-and-coming year. And it'll be sold more than likely as a 2014 model. And we are embargoed to tell you a lot of the other stuff, but it's one heck of a vehicle.
Well, do you guys have any questions as far as speaking with Junior D'Amato? I mean, any new vehicles you get down at the sheriff's department that you guys want to share that you know?
Well, you know, it's this is Sheriff Joe. It's a very exciting time in public safety and specifically police vehicles because, as you know, they just phased out what was the premier platform for police cruisers, the Crown Victoria.
Gone.
Ford. Yeah, gone. Yeah.
I'm amazed they did that. And now Generous Motors or Government Motors is coming up with a Caprice that you guys should have at least one test one in your possession. We had the opportunity of driving that Caprice a while back ago. And again, embargoed information that you really can't talk about. But they're in some of the fleets right now, from what I understand.
This is Chris, the fleet supervisor. We've had the opportunity to try out just about everybody's vehicles. I've had Dodges, Chevys, Fords, and we've had the Caprice twice, very early pre-production run.
Right.
And then we had it about 6 months ago, and I call it a Camaro SS four-door myself, but it's quite the car. And they put a governor on it, so it'll only go a certain speed. And
how good is that?
Well, you know, they took these over to the Middle East where they can run 150 miles without seeing anything. And
exactly.
You know, they were going over 155 with them.
Wow.
Yep. You basically have a four-door Camaro SS.
Yep.
It's pretty much what you're going to have. What was your impression of the vehicle?
Oh, it was a very nice vehicle to me. I think it's probably the lower Midwest, Arizona. You got the long highways. That's the perfect pursuit vehicle. It handled very well. It was almost close to a 50-50 weight ratio, the way they got that engine sitting back on the first two cylinders or over the wheels. They did a very nice job. You know, it'd be nice if it was built in this country. You know, Holden is a very good company in Australia, but you know, we do everything in our power to buy American, and you know, that's the only downside with it. They send the drivetrain and the engine down, and it's a very nice car. I'm Jay Ferraro. I'm very you know, I talk to him on a regular basis.
Yeah.
He's big with General Motors, and you know, it's a beautiful car. They did a nice job. You know, it was too bad all that technology when Pontiac went down. You know, they're using some of it.
Well, it is too bad, but the Holden Group out in Australia is really never even gotten rid of the El Camino, which we got rid of many, many years ago.
Yep.
And you're going to start to see a lot of this stuff come back in again, be built here in the U.S. of A. We're seeing a lot more Explorers used as police vehicles right now. And you know, you got to hand it to Ford. They dropped one, and they're trying to pick up the ball with the Explorer. The new Explorer is a vehicle that is multifunctional, and you have that all-wheel or four-wheel drive option. Where in the Caprice, you don't, but you have to look
at it. It's just rear wheel. Yeah.
We didn't have the four-wheel drive option in the Crown Victorias either.
No, that's true. That's true.
You know, what happens with that?
The one thing I did want to ask is, if you guys, I don't know if you had a chance to drive or test out the Ford Taurus that they were offering for the state police. I heard from a state police friend that they got the Explorers because they didn't like the Tauruses for whatever reason. I don't know if you guys knew what reason or if you could kind of enlighten me.
I was actually at that demonstration. It was the only one in New England for the prototype Ford. They call them the P71 Utility and the P71 Sedan. Personally, I think they're both fantastic cars. As a choice for the Sheriff's Department, we have purchased one Explorer already. One of the police Explorers. We tried three of them last year. They're fantastic, but I have to tell you, it's the size, I believe.
Mm.
Both vehicles are incredible. I've driven prototypes, and I've driven what's on the road right now, and I'll be honest with you, the turbocharged one's very quick, but the naturally aspirated one is almost as fast. It doesn't quite go through the corners as quick.
Now, as far as with the Chryslers that you're seeing, a lot of the pursuit vehicles that a lot of the towns and cities are acquiring, I think Brockton just acquired a Chrysler.
The Chargers, I think, are what's going out there right now.
The Chargers, but how has anybody heard how well they're liked by, you know, the departments? And are there any flaws in those vehicles? While maybe they're fast, maybe there's not enough room for prisoner transports or anything like that.
They're certainly sharp looking. I have to say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They did a great styling job. Yeah,
I'm a Dodge guy, but we don't have them in the fleet. They're a nice car. They do have. Everybody has their own drawbacks. It doesn't matter what manufacturer. There's always something. But for us, it's tight in the back. We don't do pursuit, so that kind of really eliminates the need. The car handles very well. I've had two or three of them. Dodge has been down many times, which I certainly welcome them every time, but they're coming out with a truck this year that's a police pursuit, and there are very few of those in the industry. But getting back to Ford, they've covered their bases between the two vehicles. The tires, the rims, the rotors, the brakes, the calipers are all the same between the Explorer and the Taurus. The cars having the all-wheel drive capability is just incredible in New England. And a front-wheel drive car at high speed is not the most pleasant thing to want to be in, whereas an all-wheel drive car grabs the road. You can go into the corners. I told people after I went to this thing in Ayer, which at the time the Explorer did not have the stability traction set up yet. It wasn't like your wife's SUV. We were going in the corner. I was going in the corners 40-45 because they told us, drive them like we stole them. They wanted us to know how they felt.
Yeah.
We took a Crown Vic through the course. We took a Taurus through the course. Then we went with the twin turbo Taurus. And then we went with the Explorer. And I was just utterly amazed. I drive a Durango. My wife has a Durango, you know, a big land yacht, nice car. And, you know, you can't drive it like one of these utilities or Explorers. There's massive differences between these vehicles too. The outward sheet metal is about where it ends, you know. Otherwise, what you see on those police cars, you're not finding it on a production car. They have an integrated built-in roll cage. They use titanium roofs in them. There's crush zones. The engine, the computer is different on them, the transmissions, you know, it's they have different shift patterns. They're very fast.
Mm. Yeah, they're very controllable. They have to be. They're basically overbuilt because of all the abuse and all the hard driving they get. And they do a nice job. There's no question about it. And like you mentioned, even the rims are a lot heavier, and they're a lot thicker. And if you notice all those little holes to help air out the brakes, they do a nice job on those things. There's no question. And you know, they have to run a tremendous amount of miles. And they certainly are all now trying to get whatever percentage they can. And as far as what you mentioned about the Charger, the main complaint that we get in my own town of Lakeville with those is that they're very small and they're tough. When you get an officer wearing a vest and he needs to get the big computer, the lap screen up and running, there's just no room in those cars.
No, you're right there, unfortunately. They're a pretty looking car and they're fast, but you know, they had a lot of issues too with the brakes in the very beginning. Not that the brakes didn't work, but they went through them very quick. Tire wear, inconsistent parts supply. You know, to me, I think they could do a better job with the fleet. You know, more people would be entertained. But the Ford really spent a lot of time, a lot of money. They had a big advisory board that was throughout the country. The Mass State Police were on that. You know, they did their homework. You know, we were all nervous about a front-wheel drive or all-wheel drive unibody car, but, you know, and I think they will succeed very well with it.
I'm happy to see that. Speaking about the brakes on these vehicles that we see today, one of the problems that goes way back is that, for whatever reason, our wonderful American car manufacturers, they never like to put big brakes on vehicles. They would put the smallest gosh-darn rotor sizes in diameter they can, and the rotors were too thin. And after, you know, a few thousand miles of heavy driving, you hit the brakes and your teeth would rattle.
Yeah, that's true. Well, these are a good size. They're over 14.5 inches, I believe, in the front. And, you know, they've got the nice fins between them. They're almost NASCAR inspired.
You need to have that. And
yeah,
I'm
you
happy
really
to
do.
See that we're on the right road of direction to get the American cars back where they should be, not where they've been. So let's hope that's a big plus for them, and we can all be happy with them. And again, we try to buy as much American as we can.
That's right.
Junior, I got a question for you. Have you had a chance to drive the new Ford Escapes yet?
The Escape, not as of yet. I should have one of those within the next couple of weeks. But with everything about the Escape, you know, like Joe was saying, and the Fords, they have come so far. An Escape is probably one of my favorite SUV vehicles for a variety of different reasons. They're easy to handle, and one of the things that is very important is a lot of women are not, you know, the same height as men are, and some of them, women, a lot of them are shorter, and their legs are shorter, and it's much easier for them to get in an Escape than it is some of the other vehicles.
My mom owns one. That's,
I don't mean
that's
that
odd.
In any derogatory way. It's very easy for them. In fact, you know, I have a pickup truck, a 3/4 ton, and my wife is shorter than I am. And you know, without having those sidestep running boards, it's a problem to get in a 3/4 ton Chevrolet pickup truck.
The only reason I ask is I had a chance to drive a 20, 2012 Escape.
Yep.
And I found it nice. I like the features, but it was a little tiny, like you mentioned. It's a little tiny inside for me.
It's supposed to be. it's not an Explorer. You know, it's the downsized car. And I tell you, that stupid thing works so well. I mean, I really enjoy every time I get to drive one of those vehicles around the yard or whatever. You know, the 2011s and 12s. And, you know, Ford has really come a long way. If you want to talk about the Ford system, the one thing that does take some time to get used to is that Ford Sync system, the audio system in that vehicle. But once you get that mastered, you can have a conversation with that, and, you know, you can talk to the car all day long. It's amazing.
Yeah, Junior, I was going to say, we really like those Ford Escapes as well, but we had to rule those out of hand for use at the Sheriff's Department, because in a jail, when you mention the word escape, people freak out. It just wasn't a good fit for us.
Yeah, they certainly. Hey, let me ask you, Joe, in your department with the with all the motor pooling you guys have, did you guys ever think, or was there ever any discussion about making like any kind of, you know, small race car, quarter mile race car for the inmates or anything?
No, we haven't had that conversation, but one of the things that I'm trying to do, and I'll be working on for the next few years at least, is making Plymouth, the jail down where we are, taking some of that land and making some great training facilities. We also have the police academy co-located within our headquarters building, and one of the things that we want to build down there is called an EVOC track, the emergency vehicle operations. So right now they're using the runways up at the South Weymouth Naval Air Station, and they're going to lose that ability. So we do have space, and we wanted to make some tracks over there, you know, for teaching police officers how to drive cruisers, fire personnel how to drive the big apparatus, snowplow drivers, things like that. But I was thinking, when that wasn't being used, my personal vehicle is a 68 Firebird. We could go over there and do some standing quarter miles. That might be fun.
Well, you know, Joe, I gotta tell you, with 450 horsepower under my hood too, maybe I'll race you.
Well, my Firebird doesn't put out that much, but you know, it would be fun. But this is, you know, some of the things that we think about down the road, and it is important for us to do that. And we'd invite you, Junior, to come on over sometime. Yeah, well, come on over and take a tour anytime. We'd love to show you what we got.
Come down to our garage.
Hey, Joe, you know what? I think that we can put Joe Rossi right back in his chair, okay? Very simply. Tonight, when you guys get some time, just go and look to Jegs, JEGS.com. Mm. That's the little mail order book. It's like Summit. And they have now, Joe Rossi can block his ears. For anybody that's listening, if you want to build a hot rod, they have the Cadillac CTS-V V8. That's a 556 horsepower, all ready to go. Engine, alternator, AC compressor, bolted up to an automatic transmission with the computers for the transmission and the engine for like $17,000 delivered to your door. Wow. That's the whole enchilada. For anybody who wants to build a hot rod, all you do is put it in, bolt it up, hook up the exhaust, add water and fuel, and guess what? You're ready to go.
Has it changed being able to build a vehicle of choice these days, or finding some of the vehicles that maybe we remember from our, you know, back in whether it's the 50s, 60s, 70s, or 80s, Junior?
Well, one of the things you can do now with what I just mentioned, this Cadillac CTS-V engine availability, you're talking about putting an engine in a vehicle and just bolting everything up, a couple of three wires. You put the computer harness in. Everything is done for you, and all you need to do is just hook up the exhaust system and fabricate a little bit here, a little bit there, and you've got your 69, your 70 Camaro, Chevrolet, Chevelle, whatever you want to put this thing in, and you've got over 500 horsepower that will idle all day long and will blow ice-cold AC.
On pump gas.
Yes, and not overheat, not vibrate. Don't have to. They call these cars that they're doing now pro touring cars, where they put these engines in these vehicles, and they or pro mods, and they just make these cars. They're so beautiful and so easy to drive. But that's for a whole nother story.
Sure.
A couple of things I'd like to touch bases on real quickly.
Please do.
With the fall and winter season coming up around the corner, a lot of people are looking at buying new cars. One of the biggest complaints I get in my newspaper column is, I just bought a new Honda, I just bought a new Toyota, or whatever kind of car you want, and it's very hard riding. And I went back to the dealer, I called the manufacturer, there's nothing we can do about that. There's nothing they'll do. That's a big problem, especially for our senior citizens, that, you know, don't realize that these new import cars have a fairly harsh or stiff ride. And there's really not a whole lot you can do, with the exception of maybe changing the profile of a tire. Mm. But you just bought a brand new car. You don't want to have to do that. So you really have to be careful on that. The other thing is the correct engine oil with these cars. You just can't go to the garage and pull out a quart of oil that you had and add into the brand new car that you have, because it may not be the correct oil for that vehicle, and that can lead to a lot of internal problems as far as valve timing and solenoids and internally lubricated electronic parts that are in all of these engines today. And cleaning out the leaves from underneath the hood, I can't tell you how many cars come in the shop as of right now, still with fall just being over and winter coming. The leaves are stuffed up in the bottom of the windshield area where the air intake is. It is so, so important, especially the pine needles. Get the vacuum cleaner out if you have a garage at home, or when you go down to your local oil change company, just have them, you know, vacuum out those leaves or take them out. It is just so, so important. Last but not least, the windshield wiper blades. Have you ever sat in your car and the windshield wipers are chattering as they go up and down where there's just a little mist? Cheap wiper blades and the wrong angle of attack on the wiper blades cause that problem. And any good technician should be able to just bend the arm a little bit out of the way, up or down, to get rid of that chattering, because that can be so annoying, especially on Jeep Wranglers.
Junior, I got a question for you. You know, every time we talk, I ask you one question about my own vehicles.
Yes, the race car.
Yes, so I'm putting, well, the race car and the truck, and the truck's out now, and the car is all waxed up, and it's got the car covered just about over it. But I have, I'm cleaning the windows on my car, and it's tough to find something that doesn't leave a streak. What would you suggest to get those windows just right so I don't get that streak when I wipe it off?
There's actually two things that you have to do. One is you have to use a very good windshield cleaner, okay? Meguiar's makes some, Mother's makes some, and there's, I think, Spray Glass Clean. Is a company that comes through. It comes in a white container, and you're going to pay a little bit more money for these things. And using, like, Bounty that doesn't leave any streaks, a streak-free Bounty, that makes a very big difference. Now, if you have any light scratches, go down to your local glass company, and they actually have a paste rouge that you, it comes dry. It looks like little sand, but it's very, very fine. And you wet it, you dampen it, you put it on a cloth. And I got some from my local glass company a year ago, and it probably has a 3-year longevity, because that's about how long it would take you to use it to, clean the windshield. Some people use a little water and vinegar with a newspaper. There are just so many things. Personally, I use regular car wax, and it works well for me.
Interesting.
Well, that's all the time that we have, Junior. We thank you very much for joining us, and we're going to look forward to hearing more from you in the new year.
Mr. Tachi, I hope you guys have a fabulous holiday season. The best you can, and let's see if we can keep America going.
We'll look forward to talking to you in a couple of weeks, my friend.
Okay, guys. Have a great night.
See you, Junior.
Good night, Junior. Thanks.
And we want to thank you, Sheriff McDonald, and Mr. Bittaker for being here.
Thanks for having us.
As well as we want to thank Josh Cutler. Mm. We want Andrew Boteri. Mm. We want to thank the listeners for tuning in to Monday Night Talk with Tachi and Mossy. We will be off in the next couple of weeks, but we will be back January 7th.
In 2013.
And we hope you have a great holidays. And our thoughts go out to those down in Connecticut, Newtown, Connecticut, their families, what they're dealing with these days. Up next, I believe, South Shore Live. Have yourself a great evening here on Monday Night Talk. Have a good night.
Can wrap up this show right after this.
I want to thank you for setting the heaven. I'm sorry.
Do you have any parting words?
My only parting words would be great to listen to the radio, but you should read a book once in a while, too.
See what it is? People don't want to talk to you anymore.
You don't care.
I gotta go.
Good night.
Good night.